Father and our God, this morning we do honor thee and thank thee for the mercy and the grace that in Christ Jesus that was lavished upon us. Holy Father, we now pray that thou would take glory as thy word is declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. Pass or fail. These two options are the final outcome of all the effort a student put into studying for an exam. You know, our educational system is designed to measure success solely through results. It is not really about how diligent you are as a student or how many hours you put into studying. Rather, it is squarely about your performance. You know, our educational system, it is the result that justifies the means. That is, if you do not cheat. But this is not exclusive to our educational system. Virtually all of life, in one way or the other, is about performance and result. If you this morning are a salesperson, you know it is not about how many persons you give a sales pitch to. Rather, it is about how many deals you secured. If you're a football coach, it is not really about how many hours you spend on the practice field or in the film room. It is all about winning a football game. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ, today it is obvious to me, at least as a pastor, that the Church of Jesus Christ has become more result-driven. You know, the health of a church is measured by the size of its building and the growth of its membership. My efficacy as a preacher is measured by how many people troop in to listen to me, or whether I'm on the radio or on the television, and the list goes on. Now, some could argue that this mindset is not antithetical to biblical teaching. And they're correct. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself will say to us in John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 8. He said, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And while this is true, however, when we begin to search through Scripture, we will discover that God is even more interested in something else than result. And that is process. That God is more interested in the process than in the result. And the process that God is more interested in is called faithfulness. In essence, in God's economy, it is not the end that justifies the means. It is rather the means that justifies the end. Again, I need to repeat that. You know, in God's economy, it is not the end that justifies the means. It is the means that justify the end. God measures success not by result, but by faithfulness. It is your faithfulness that moves the heart of God, not your outward achievement. And throughout biblical history, the call of God has been towards faithfulness, not result. From Noah was called to build an ark because God was going to send the rain upon the earth, though it never rained before then. And he obeyed God in faithfulness. To Moses, who was called to go and liberate the Israelites with a rod in his hand. And in faithfulness, he went and did as God has told him. To Joshua, who was told to walk around Jericho 7 times and the wall will fall down. And truly Joshua walked through Jericho 7 times and the wall came down. What about Jehoshaphat, the king, who had to go to battle with a choir rather than a troop because the God told him that the battle is not yours, but the battle belongs to him. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews, would teach us, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, said, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was in all his house." The implication was that the Lord Jesus was faithful to the covenant of grace. He was faithful in laying his life down as an atonement for sin, that we today can be reconciled back to God. Faithfulness. Loved ones, this morning, God is concerned and God is interested in our faithfulness. So then, if faithfulness is what moves the heart of God, we should then turn to ourselves and ask this question. You know, how can I begin to walk faithfully with my God? Or how can I become more diligent in walking faithfully with God? As we read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, when the Lord Jesus gave the parable and said, "Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You know, can the Lord Jesus say that about you and I? Well, this morning, the answer to that question is going to be the crux of what I'm going to teach about. And this is how it's going to go, loved ones. But as a preamble, let us first take a step back for 1 minute and try to understand what I call the doctrine of biblical faithfulness. What exactly does the Bible mean when it talks about faithfulness? So let's begin here by doing some grammatical analysis. You know, in the Old Testament Hebrew, the word emet is the word translated faithfulness, and it simply means stability and firmness. In the New Testament Greek, the word pistis is the word translated faithfulness, and it simply means reliability and fidelity. So now, based on those two meanings, here is the definition of biblical faithfulness. Biblical faithfulness is a state of steadfast loyalty and obedience to God, even in the face of adversity and temptation. Loved ones, I want you to write this down, loved ones. It is the state of steadfast loyalty and obedience to God, even in the face of adversity and temptation. I want you to observe two things from that definition. First of all, I want you to observe one thing. You know, faithfulness cannot be divorced from loyalty and obedience. You know, when we talk about faithfulness, we're talking about loyalty and obedience to God. Obedience and loyalty that is not partial, that is not compartmentalized, but that is holistic. That is holistic obedience that has to do with striving to honor God in all the aspects of our lives, including our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. So that is it. It's being steadfast in that loyalty and obedience to God. That is the first thing you want to observe about this definition. The second thing you want to observe about this definition is that even in the face of adversity and trials and temptations, you know, the adversity and temptation will always come into our experience. And usually when they come into our experience, they tend to test our faithfulness. That are you still going to be faithful to God if you lose all the material things that you have? Are you going to be like Job, that when he lost everything, he said, "Naked I came into this world and naked I will return. God give it and God take it away." Are you able to still be faithful when you are by yourself and everything around you is crumbling? That is the key to faithfulness. It is the steadfast loyalty and obedience to God in spite and in the light and even in the face of life's adversity and life's temptations. Loved ones, that is what biblical faithfulness entails. So with that settled, let me now go back to that initial question that I asked. You know, how can I be now diligent in working faithfully before my God? Or should I put it differently? You know, what does it entail? You know, working faithfully with my God, what does it entail? Well, I want to present three things to you this morning that I believe if you hold on to these three things, you will continue to grow in your faithfulness towards God. And here are the three things. The first thing is this. You must, of utmost importance, understand your calling. I want you to pay attention to what I just said. You have to, first of all, understand your calling as a Christian. You know, fundamentally, as a Christian, you are not a friend of God, but a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pay attention to what I just said, because there's a song out there that says, I am the friend of God. You know, that song theologically is not correct. Why is it not correct? Because while in James chapter 2, Abraham was referred to as a friend of God, but the context of that has to do with intimacy with God. You and I really are a servant of God. You know, when we talk about friendship, watch this. Friendship communicates some form of reciprocal benefit that you and your friend receive from one another, or some mutual respect that you have for one another. But this is not the case with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't benefit the Lord Jesus Christ. All that we have comes from Him. We don't benefit God. All that we have come from Him. You know, God will still be God whether we're here or not. So we got to understand within that context that who we are servants of Christ. That is the calling of a Christian. And the Lord Jesus Himself made this abundantly clear in Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 5. I want you to pay attention to this discourse between the Lord Jesus and His disciples. His disciples will ask him, he said, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord will say to them, if you have the faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted under the sea, and it will obey you. Then the Lord Jesus gave them a parable. He said, which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come immediately, sit down and eat. But will he not say to him, prepare me something to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you may eat and drink? Does he thank the slave because he does what he has been commanded to do? So you too, when you do all the things you are commanded to do, say, we are unworthy slaves, for we have done only that which we ought to have done. So you see, in this parable, the Lord Jesus was reminding His disciples that you got to understand that your calling now as my disciple, your calling as my people in this relationship on the horizontal level, you are my servant. That is why you refer to me as Lord. That is the key to you understanding how to walk diligently and faithfully before your God. You must understand who you are in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your Lord. Now, by servanthood, what we mean is that you have lost the right. I want to make this very clear, loved ones. You have lost the right. You have lost the right to your opinion. You have lost the right to your own rights. In other words, all you have now is responsibility. All you have now is the responsibility to obey God. You don't have to understand. Listen to me, loved ones. You don't have to understand everything that God calls you to do. You don't have to agree with everything God calls you to do. You are just called to do as the master have said. Now, this is where the problem lies in contemporary Christendom, because we tend to take our beating from public opinion. But that's not the way it should be. In our calling, in order to be faithful to the God who has called us, we are his servants. We obey God regardless of what the public opinion says. We obey God regardless of how other people may feel about what we're doing, because we are servants of God. It is no longer about your agenda. It is no longer about your desire and your feelings. Because many of us tend to be feeling-based and we act in our feelings. But in Christ Jesus, as a servant of Christ, obedience should be your garment. Obedience should be your day-to-day coat that you put on your body, because you know that you're serving a Lord who has commanded you to do specific things upon this earth. And when we as the Church of Jesus Christ begin to understand this critical and fundamental principle of our calling, we will begin to change our culture for Jesus Christ, because we will be faithful, we'll be loyal, and our allegiance, watch what I just said, our allegiance will be squarely to the Lord Jesus and to him alone. And loved ones, this morning, for you to be able to walk faithfully with your God, for you to be diligent in working faithfully with God, just like Noah never understood, but he obeyed. Just like Moses never understood, but he obeyed. Just like Joshua never understood, but he obeyed. The same is your calling, that as servants of God, to work diligently before God, obedience before understanding. That is the key to working diligently, because you are a servant of God. Now, the second is this. Falls in the same light. You know, you must be committed to trustworthiness. Love, once again, I want you to write this down. To be diligent in faithfulness, you must be committed to trustworthiness. You know, as a servant of God, it follows that whatever you receive from Jesus is actually a blessing. Nothing that you earn, but it's a blessing. That is why you and I got to understand what the Apostle Paul said. You know, what do you have that you have not received? If you've received it, why then do you boast? But in essence, what that translates to is that because we're servants of God and God has blessed us, whatever God has blessed us, he expects us to be stewards over it. Again, watch what I'm saying. He expects us to be stewards. In other words, it's not about ownership in Christian faith, but it's about stewardship. As a pastor, I am a steward of God's manifold blessing in this church. It does not belong to me. Now, the Apostle Paul makes this very clear to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, begin at verse 1. Watch what the Apostle Paul will say here. He said, let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards to be found trustworthy. So you see where I'm going this morning? Trustworthiness. As a servant of Jesus, as a steward of his manifold blessings, you are to be trustworthy. That is how you become diligent in faithfulness. Now you must say, what does trustworthiness entail? Well, trustworthiness entails some very powerful virtues. It entails honesty, dependability, reliability, credibility. Again, I want you to watch what I just said to you. Honesty, in essence, to be faithful as a believer in Jesus Christ, to display trustworthiness, you must be honest. You must be a person with impeccable character. You must be a Christian that your yea is yea and your nay is nay. You must first of all be honest with yourself. And you must be honest as a believer that everywhere you go, people will see the distinction in your life because you are trustworthy. God has entrusted you with his mercy, with his grace. God has entrusted you with that ministry of reconciliation. God has entrusted you as his servant. And to be diligent in your faithfulness, you must be honest. You must be honest when it comes to your tax season. You must be honest in dealing with people in businesses. Some of you are business owners listening to me. Be honest in your business. Be honest. There is also the notion of dependability. Can you be dependent on as a Christian? Can you be dependent to follow through on whatever responsibility you've been given? Can your employer look at you and say there is a uniqueness about this person because he's dependable? That should be every day, every time you receive your evaluation at your job. Because you must display this notion of trustworthiness. And again, those are the keys. Listen to me, loved ones. Those are the keys that actually reveal that you are diligent in faithfulness. Because being faithful requires that you commit to trustworthiness. You commit to being dependable. You commit to being reliable. You commit to being credible. You'll be dependable when it comes to your marriage. You will be credible when it comes to you telling the truth. Also, it has to do with the notion of firmness and stability. Loved ones, this morning, if there is one thing that we constantly see that is evolving in the Church of Jesus Christ today, it's just a lack of integrity. It's a lack of character. Listen to me. For you to walk faithfully with God, you must understand that God expects us to be trustworthy, to be faithful stewards over those things that he has entrusted with us. But most importantly, to commit to this life of grace stewardship before God. When you understand the notion of trustworthiness, you then will be able to be diligent and to achieve that notion of faithfulness that God is calling each one of us to and that God is delighted in. Here is the final thing, loved one, I want you to write down this morning. In other words, to perfect or to rather to be diligent in faithfulness, you must learn to always leave the result to God. Again, watch what I just said. You must learn to leave the result to God. You know, as a Christian, understanding what you are responsible for and what you're not responsible for will actually free you from spiritual burnout and some form of guilt that you are underperforming. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying this morning. You know, again, I'm talking this morning about faithfulness, right? How to be diligent in faithfulness. You must understand what you are responsible for and what you are not responsible for. You know, God's requirement is that you be diligent in faithfulness. But you must understand that the result is God's responsibility. The result is God's responsibility. The Apostle Paul, again, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, will now remind us of this principle. He said to us here, he said, "For one say, I am of Paul, another I am of Apollos. Are we not mere men? What is then Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as God gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." So watch what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, listen, who am I? I'm just stewards of God, Paul, Apollos, but we are being faithful in the work to which God has called us to do. And in our faithfulness, we have learned that the result is ultimately God. It is God that causes the growth. It is God that causes the church to grow. It is God that moves in the heart of people that brings them to salvation. You are called out there to go and make disciples of all nations. Oh, yes, you will go into the mission field. Oh, yes, you'll go into the highways and byways. That is your call to faithfulness. You do it. But don't feel upset when there is no change. Don't feel upset that, Lord, I'm planting and nothing coming up, because God is the one who brings about the result. It is God. We are called to pray. We are called to pray without ceasing, but God is the only one who moves through our prayer to bring to the manifestation the desired hand that He is moving through and wants to achieve in this world. Loved ones, understand this, because it's easy in our walk of faithfulness before God to assume that responsibility, that we are called to be the one to initiate the result and the change. You know, as a pastor, I'm called to be faithful in the declaration of God's word. I'm called to do my exegesis, to understand the scripture, to teach you week by week, day by day, as the Lord gives me opportunity. But I'm not responsible to change you. I'm not responsible for your change. I'm not responsible to move you to obedience. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit's responsibility. And that has become my own understanding of scripture. That is why in my own declaration of the word of God, I'm always very careful to understand that I must be diligent. I must work in faithfulness before God in preparing this. But it's only God who now comes up and bring about the result. And loved ones, this morning, to be diligent in faithfulness, you have to first of all understand your calling. You have to understand that you are servants of Jesus Christ. You have to also understand the notion of trustworthiness, that you must commit to trustworthiness. But most importantly, you must understand that the result ultimately comes from God. That as a steward of God, as one called to be trustworthy, one called to be walking faithfulness, I must have to leave the result to God. I will do my work. I will be faithful in what God has called me to do. But the result comes solely from Jesus Christ. And this morning, I charge you, church, don't fumble your faithfulness. Don't fumble your faithfulness. God is looking at the process. God is looking at your faithfulness. That is the measure of God's success. So let us, as God's people, walk constantly in faithfulness. As one person have rightly said, God did not call us to be successful, but He called each one of us to be faithful. So let's walk in faithfulness and glorify the name of our great God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we do honor Thee and thank Thee for the mercy and the grace that in the Lord Jesus Christ Thou hast lavished upon us. Holy Father, we now commit this time of teaching into Thy hands. Be Thou glorified, O God, as Thy word is declared. Bless every place this